Joining us on POTUS is Richard C. Bell, voting rights expert and attorney. We are talking about what is possibly going to happen with the election, and obviously the reporting, the counting of the votes is what really counts. And the Supreme Court, what role they might play. Richard C. Bell is also the author of Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance, and is joining us on POTUS. Richard C. Bell, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me back, Tim.
So what's your expectation tomorrow? I mean, are we going to, we're not going to know tomorrow night who the winner of this election is, do you believe?
Yeah, I would say it's highly unlikely, unless, of course, you know, Florida and Georgia or Texas, if those came in for Biden, obviously that would change things dramatically. But it's highly likely we will not know for a number of days at a minimum.
So people need to know exactly what happens. They cast their ballots either early or they cast them on election day. Then the votes are tabulated. When are they tabulated and when are they official?
Okay, so number one, it varies by state. Some states like Florida and Arizona, these states have been opening these ballots, putting them through the machines, having them ready to basically hit a button on Tuesday night, and they'll have the results. That's why you get early results in a place like Florida. Other states, unfortunately, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, which are obviously important states, sit on it. Most that they don't open it. Some is the day of the election. Some is when the polls close. That's why you have such a late vote count when there's so many vote by mail in those states.
How do those early counting states keep those results secret?
You know, interestingly enough, we have never had a problem. Obviously, it's a crime, and it has never leaked that I know of in our election history. So they do a very good job. I think it's mostly because it is kept very internally, and I don't even know if they know the number, but the number is in their system.
Now, other states may not count those ballots. Do they at least go through them, in other words, to see that they are legitimate, that they are valid, so that they have required signatures, et cetera?
Sure. Like a state like New Jersey that's doing universal vote by mail this time, it's on a rolling basis. New York also is on a rolling basis, meaning the ballots come in, they get opened. In terms of the outer envelope, they see if it's correct, meaning signatures or signature matches, whatever it is they're looking for. And in those states, they notify the voter if there is a problem so that they have time to cure it. So it's on a rolling basis. That's why you will have results much
earlier.
All right.
So now we have the totals in state X, whatever the state might be. So we now know who has the most votes, at least according to what we saw in the polling numbers, both combined with the in-person election and the early voting. What happens next?
Okay, so the thing that your audience needs to understand is when you see those numbers on election night or early into the morning, those are whatever the raw numbers are that have been reported that the media reports based on what these states have told them. But those are not official numbers. Elections are not certified in the states, usually for weeks. So while politicians and the media sometimes give the story of what it says and make projections, obviously based on mathematical formulas, we don't have any elections in the United States that are certified on election night. It takes usually weeks to certify it. So those are not the official final results.
So once they are certified, at least as far as the presidential election is concerned, the electors meet December 14th, correct? And that will determine who the president is, unless we have, I guess, a tie or a contested election. What happens then?
Well, interesting question. While the court in Bush versus Gore talked about that safe harbor, which this year will be December 8th, and the meeting of the electors on December 14th, Justice Ginsburg, in her dissenting opinion, said, you know what? Those aren't hard and fast. The only hard and fast date is January 6th when the ballots are actually counted in the Congress. So in her opinion, those other dates are actually flexible because when the actual deadline for the president pro tem the Senate Pence to receive them is December 23rd, there's also a provision in the law that says he can still ask for them if they haven't received them by then. And that's why Judge Ginsburg said, I don't know, to me it looks like January 6th is a drop dead date. So that's an issue that has been viewed by the Supreme Court. Of course, it was viewed as that safe harbor in Bush versus Gore was a definitive date.
And so then if it gets to January the 6th, it's up to the Senate to vote for the vice president and the House to vote for the president, correct?
Right. And that's when we will know what the Electoral College said.
And that's when we'll also know whether or not our democracy can stand, because that's the way the process is supposed to work.
Exactly right. We'll see. Hopefully it's not a 269 tie, and then it's in the House, and then we don't want to go into those waters.
Well, and the House is, it's based on the delegation for each individual state, correct? So it's like each state gets a vote. It's not like each member of the House gets a vote.
Yes, exactly, which makes it very interesting what happens with the state legislatures in this election as well.
Let's talk about one of the other key issues. Richard C. Bell, voting rights expert and attorney, is the author of Voting, the Ultimate Act of Resistance. Tomorrow there will be questions about what people can and cannot do at the polls. I've seen stories out of Michigan, for example. There's a question about whether open carry, which is acceptable in the state, is going to be tolerated at polling places, whether or not there are going to be people watching over your shoulder. There are questions about what you can and cannot wear at some polling places. What do people need to know about voting in person for those who will vote in person tomorrow?
Okay, what they need to know is if you are waiting till Election Day, get there as early as possible if your job allows it, because obviously lines form as the day goes on. Number two, while the rules vary state by state, it's probably best not to wear any kind of campaign gear when you go in to vote, because that does vary by the state. But why take a chance? You can wear it when you get out, put your jacket over it so that there's no issues. And most of all, be patient. There might be lines. The process might take a little longer. But we all know how important this is. So the best thing to do is just be patient. And if, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about potential voter intimidation. Look, it's like any other situation. You see something, you say something, you're always aware of the situation around you. And don't ever be in fear about this. We've gone through lots of elections. Law enforcement is extremely aware of any potential. I would say the best potential is the more people show up, the better the system works.
On that question, there are rules in some states. I know that the few that I voted in, like six different states that I voted in, depending on my residence, but there are always questions about how close people can be who represent the campaigns. In other words, there's this last minute hope that they can swing you to their side, but they have to be a certain distance away from the actual entrance to the polling precinct, correct?
That's correct. Some states it's 10 feet, some states it's 100 feet, some states it's 200 feet. That's correct. And what usually happens is the poll workers will put cones down to designate the area where electioneering can begin.
So anything that's you're concerned about as we get ready for tomorrow, Election Day, and obviously the count?
Yeah, I would say number one, my biggest concern is that people shut out the noise and just do their civic duty and go out and vote. There's a lot of stories out there. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence of things out there. Just go out and vote. End of story, because that's your civic duty. In terms of the future, whether the courts are going to get involved eventually, we'll see. That will unfold as it will unfold. But for the citizen, the only goal is to have your voice heard, to go out and vote. There's no other concern than to just do what you have to do.
Is there, you think, an upside to the pandemic in the sense that it forced more early voting? In other words, is that the direction you think we're moving?
Yes, I think that early voting is an excellent way of doing it, because it extends the period of time. It allows people who are working, or you have two jobs, you have other commitments. It gives you so much flexibility. I personally think that there's no reason why we shouldn't have 20 or 30 days of voting everywhere, in person or by mail, because making voting easy and simple is always should be the goal.
I do appreciate you joining us, Richard C. Bell. Thanks for being on POTUS today.
My pleasure, and vote, vote, vote. Everybody get out there tomorrow.
That's what we've heard. Richard C. Bell, voting rights expert and attorney, is the author of The Ultimate Act of Resistance, Voting, The Ultimate Act of Resistance.